talking about church words in this new sermon series. We have our own language. We take perfectly normal words and we give them meaning or depth that the average person up there, maybe if you're here, just don't go there. And so we decided to stop and unpack a few of those for us to make sure that we're all on the same page because we use these words all the time. And so rather than to be confused, we're trying to express what these words mean. If we miss something, let us know and we'll address that as well. Last week we looked at two words, grace and mercy, different sides of the same coin. And so we learned that the grace is that God is for us. That is, He has our best in mind as we live in relationship with Him and as He lives in relationship with us. And we know that mercy is that God is not against us. He's not out to get us. His desire, when we get to the morning, is to face Him punishing us. That's not His desire. So He's for us. He's not against us. Grace is also the path that leads us to God and to the life that only He makes possible. You see, God offers real life instead of the life that we might settle. And mercy is also the rescue from the path that is the fruit of our natural inclination, which is the influence of the Holy Spirit. God blesses us with forgiveness and new life rather than punishing us for our sins. Our sins were punished in Jesus. And so grace and mercy, if they were flowers or fruits, they would find their source in Jesus. He is the soil. He is the seed. He is the root from which our new life finds the ability to thrive. So He is our source. And so today, our second installment in this series, I'd like to unpack faith. Now, before I even begin, I need to warn you about this sermon. Some of you who pay really close attention are going to say, oh my goodness, he's just twirling and circles. He's working. Maybe. But I'm really going to twirl and circles because I'm going to try to catch as many as I can. Because faith is, it's like a gem, a jewel, and it's just many facets. And some of you, and I know because I've been there, are in one facet, or maybe two, and I'm missing some of the depth of this thing that Pastor Dale prayed about in faith. And so, that's what I want to do with you this morning. So hang with me. One of these facets will connect with you. One of my swirls will connect with you. If I get one of the facets, I have to say, please help me. It sounds like you'd be ready to help me. So, I need to tell you about my first experience with faith. I was new to church. I had been estranged from the church for 18 years, and I was new to church, and there was this little Baptist church in central New York, and they had all the copies of a little Baptist church in central New York, and part of the copies was the message that I was given, so part of that was a sinner, and I had a football ball, and it was repeated over and over again from the pulpit, from the people I sat with, in the youth meeting, and I told them I was a sinner, and I was going to hell now. I needed Jesus to forgive my sins. And the friend explained to me that faith was a decision to trust Jesus, that Jesus had died for my sins, and that my faith in what He had done for me would open my life to new life. And the Bible explained to me this concept of faith was an intellectual decision. I had to intellectually engaged with this message about Jesus and what He had done for me, and that I would be saved. I had to believe in my head. And later, Joseph, not from the same Bible, that faith, saving faith, is trusting Jesus as an act of obedience, or as an active commitment. Not just in my head, but my life had to reflect what I was embracing. I was not simply saved to not get ahead, but I was saved to live a Jesus kind of life. And so faith was offered to me as a choice, which was proven by my obedience to a certain lifestyle, which concluded, I had to wear a shirt with buttons. I didn't get into the next time. So, intellectual choice a life of obedience. And that's what I was offered at the beginning. And my guess is that most everybody in this room has or does embrace one or both of these ideas. And they're not wrong. They're just not complete. They focus on this gem, this cherished gem of faith. You see, for these two ideas, deciding that something is right or true doesn't always lead to a new kind of life. We can choose, in spite of what we know, to do something else. And my guess is everybody in this room has done that. At least once or a thousand times. I know it's true, but I'm going to do this. I know it's right, but I'm going to do this. And so as we think about that intellectual assent or agreement with the gospel message, that's true, it's right, but it's not enough. And following certain social behaviors doesn't really prove that there's been a heart change, because all of us understand the idea of looking right to fit in. We've probably all done that. And as I said, these ideals are not wrong, they're actually right, but they're not complete, they're not quite enough. You see, as I look at the cross, as I look at the man hanging on the cross, as I look at God's gift to the man, his son hanging on the cross, and as I think about the empty tomb, anticipating more than just my head agreeing with a statement or my life modeling somebody else's life. I'm thinking there's more to what that cross was about, more to what the empty tomb was about. So the question is, what is faith? Well, as I said, it's a spiritual gem. It's multifaceted. It has multiple angles that address or should define our relationship with God. And so we look at these scripture passages, and each of them is going to give us something to add, another facet, so that maybe at the end of the day, our gem will be more polished than it was, that we'll have a deeper understanding of what it is that Jesus makes possible in our life because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So I start on Ephesians 2 and 9, and probably most of these verses are very familiar verses, and what I'm going to share with you are really familiar ideas, but maybe they haven't been attached to the ideas of my faith, your faith. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 8, Paul writing says, "For with my grace you have been saved through faith. And be fast in yourself, and it's a gift of God, not by works. That's something we do so that no one can boast." Faith, according to Paul, is a gift from God, and it opens our hearts to receive God's grace of new life in Jesus. It's like a key. It opens our hearts. When we are touched by God, we lean toward Him, and we are declared His, and we begin this new life. First, if you put new blood or second blood, this becomes another holiday for us that we might want to celebrate. I was born in 1957. I was born again in 1975. Two reasons to have soup and ice cream. Yes, now you're listening. Okay, this is good stuff. There's more facets and opens up more opportunities for taking ice cream. He also opens up ways for us to understand how deep this relationship we have with God because of His great love for us. Another passage, Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, Paul has just written this huge scriptural statement for us. He picks up and says, "Therefore, since we have been justified," that is, since we have been declared right with God through faith, we have peace with God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Paul is telling us that faith is the basis for justification. Faith is the basis for us being able to be right with God. The faith is a gift from God. The declaration is made by God. We are the recipient recipients of faith and grace and justification. You see, no matter how much we do for God, we cannot wash away our sins. We are 100% dependent on Him to do the heavy lifting. We just believe with the faith that He ignites with us. Which is why, the cross and the empty tomb, that there is no need for the cross, there is no need for the empty tomb, if we could do this. But we can't. And so God broke open heaven, brought His Son behind enemy lines so that we could kill Him. So that He could be a sacrifice in our place. Jesus did what you and I could never do. Being right is a fruit of God's work. Another passage, this is a much smaller verse, but it's 2 Corinthians 5, 7, but it's no less powerful. For we live by faith, not by sight. Faith holds to what we know, not simply what we can see, because what we can see won't save us. We lean on what we cannot see, what we did not see. We did not see Jesus die for us, and yet that is what saves us. Jesus' death and His resurrection. We work, we believe, we don't see. But that believing, that knowing, gives us the ability to see our heart, so that when we lean toward God with faith, we trust that what has happened that we didn't see, but we believe, is more than enough to make it right with God. And then finally, if this was a drug, we're going to put a cap on the end of James chapter 2, verses 14 and 26. And there's a whole passage there that you can read. I'm just giving you a highlight of the passage. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? And if the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Though we are not saved by faith, but by works, though we are not saved by works, our works are an evidence of the faith that leads to our salvation through our new life in Jesus, Savior. In very real ways, faith and works are faith and ideas. They go hand in hand, giving life to each other. Faith is what enables our deeds. Not only faith from deeds or works that glorify God, but our deeds and our works, they prove that we have faith, because the deeds and works that God is looking for are not available to those without faith. They can be duplicated, imitated, but they're not the real thing. And so James is writing, he's helping us recognize that how we live our life will be reflective of what goes on in our hearts and our relationship with God. And so, as we think about these verses, and we could spend the rest of the day, maybe the rest of this week, looking at other passages that say approximately the same thing, that keep opening those ideas for us. And so, we walk away from that knowing a few things. Faith itself is a gift from God, and it is the key that opens the door to being right with God. At some point, those of us who know Jesus' Savior, we felt distant from God. We felt alienated from God. We have been exposed to some truth. We have been exposed to some ideas that confronted the lifestyle and the life that we were living. And faith. God responded by filling up our faith, and it opened that door in our heart to where we might be right with God. Faith is a gift from God. Here's our confidence that Jesus came among us. Fully God, fully man, He lived and He died on the cross and later rose from the dead. Why? That we, when we believe in what He did, we are declared right with God. When we believe what He did, directly and in our heart, we're embracing life-changing truth. And we are adopted into His family. We begin life as His child. A past event, current impact, has future hope for us. We were lost, and we pointed to the light. We are now in the midst of living a life that leads to something in the future. Our past and our future, we're living now in between them. They're all realities based on something we didn't see, but something we know because we have faith. The cross, being saved, knowing we have heaven. Now, there's a key passage that goes through these other passages and these ideas. I'm going to hang out here for a little bit. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you have any Bibles, you can turn that, or a few Bibles. Sometimes it's good to see these words. I'm going to actually read it to you in three translations. I'm hoping to catch most of you in your favorite language. Well, it's not English, but your favorite flavor of Bible translation. And so that you can see, it doesn't matter which one, they say approximately the same thing. Hebrews 11, just verse 1. And the NIV reads, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." In the New Living Translation, it says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." In the New American Standard 1995 update, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And there's two words in all three of these verses that are translated to a different word, but they mean the same thing. And faith is the confidence or reality or assurance. There's this substantial thing that we can hold on to because of this faith that we take granted. And then also the idea of faith, evidence, and conviction. What we trust, we have evidence for and conviction of because of the Holy Spirit and because of the support of Scripture. Now, the one author wrote about this verse, and I'm with you here, you can see it up there. Biblical faith takes present-day possession, I want it now, takes present-day possession of things not yet seen with our eyes but hoped for in the future. What God has revealed in His Word becomes our inner reality today. What God teaches us through the Scriptures, we own as truth. And it gives us the ability to look into the future with trusting eyes, with hope. And rather than looking at life with our earthly eyes, faith sees through the lens of God's promise. So if we step aside from Scripture, we step aside from a relationship with God, what we realize is basic animal faith. Basic animal thing. Born, live, die. Born, live, die. Doesn't matter if you're a rabbit, a giraffe, or a human being. That's just the human nature, the animal part of life. But that's not all we are. We have a soul side. And so we get to step into life with this different reality. And when we know Jesus Savior, we don't just born, live, die. We're born, live, born again, live forever. Who we are will never die if we have a relationship with God. So what I'd like to do with this is an introduction. Yes, this is the introduction to the sermon so far. What I'd like, well, I told you I could swirl around. But with that as an introduction, what I'd like to do now is to consider a variety of definitions. They're all right, and they're all helpful, I hope. So, this is where I'm going to swirl, and maybe I'll pick each one of you up in a different way. So, I'm going to like to say this. I'm a faith, where faith embraces the full span of biblical living, from our understanding of the past to our expectation of the future. And as we live in the now, because now is between the past and the future, as we live in the now, we embrace the hinge. Okay? Does anybody know what a hinge is? When a door hinge, okay, sometimes on cabinets, both break out. Oh, we're good. So as we embrace the hinge or this binding, faith, I'm offering faith as the hinge. It fills it all together. It holds the past with the future. The hinge now holds this together because we can't ignore it. Our life, our roots of spiritual life are based on an event in the past, which guarantee us a life in the future. And to do now. We don't get to make this up based on what we want. We make this up and it becomes part of us as we allow Jesus to live in and through us. As we trust what he did in the past, and now I am able to live toward the future. I can guarantee that my life today is different than the life before that Baptist church in New York. Because there I was all about me, I was all about my pleasure, I was all about my desires, and I was dead. And I was going to hell. They were awake. But they introduced me to Jesus, and he changed the trajectory of my life, and the purpose and meaning of my life. But I can't say that when I ask Jesus to be saved, I can't say that Sunday night when they put me under the water in the tank, that I was suddenly any better. I didn't have it all together. I still don't have it all together. I still don't have it all together. But I know my hope is that what Jesus did and what he's offered for me so that I could live now for him. Hebrews 11:1 is not a dictionary definition of faith. It is a working definition, and it links the past and the future. It links what has happened with what we believe and what will happen that keeps us going here. How many people have had perfect days every day for the last, let's say, year? Like 24 hours? How do we get by? How do we manage? We manage because we have this truth in our lives. Based on what we know, what we trust, what we have faith in, we have hope in what is better. And these two keep us grounded in the now. Faith, according to this author that I quoted from, is confidence that transcends what we see or what we know. It's moving, and it serves us, and it encourages us, it enables us to continue to step. Today is a bad day. That's okay. I've got tomorrow. Today is not bad. Okay, I've got tomorrow. And we move toward what has been promised, and we know that's real, we know that's perfect, we know that's amazing, because of what God's done for us in the past, my anchor. And so these two things hold me together here. Faith is a commitment to living tested. Faith is a commitment, I wrote this. Faith is a commitment to living each day as if we have seen Jesus, the cross, and the empty tomb. Faith is living each day as if we had seen. Faith is a commitment to each day, living each day, as if we see and live the end of the story, the concluded life. We have the establishment of God's eternal kingdom and common bread. You see, the intellectual agreement with the gospel message was real. I intellectually responded to the message. As it was explained, I owned it. It was mine. I thought it. But it wasn't everything I needed. And running the church with the body, that is how I could do that. It made me fit in. And it was part of the social agreement of the body of Christ, or the expression of it in that location. But this takes us to a new level. Because it's not a behavior, it's not a thought. It's my whole life engaged with the body of Christ, engaged with the person of Christ, who actually died, who actually buried, who actually was raised, who actually was ascended, who is waiting for the day when he's going to come back to take me to be with him. My friends, that's faith. That's the only faith. That's that gem that I was speaking of, the different facets. Faith links the past, the present, the future, and enables the next step, regardless of what we see or don't see. There will be moments when God to do, or to become, or to give, or to offer, or to serve, and we're going to be like this. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. And faith will stir, and you will step, and you will. Faith is alive. It's true. The good thing is, you and me, it makes us what God has done and what God is promising to do. The same faith which opens heaven's doors and windows for salvation, the same faith by which we are alive because grace is a God, is the faith that enables us to fully embrace each new day for Him. It's a faith in a very real way. It's a thread that has been spun from God's promises. It's been soaked and dyed in the blood of Jesus. And it's been woven into a fabric that is our daily life. And so if you are a cloth that is being woven together with images, our lives, because we're linked with what Jesus has done and where He's promising to take us, our lives should begin to reflect Him, His ideal, His kingdom. And the source. The fabric should tell some of the lives and the characters in the book of Hebrews 11. This is pretty important. I don't need the whole chapter. This is the beginning. My faith is comfort in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. That's verse 1, verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed in God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. There is nothing that's created. And then verse 4, it begins with wild race to the end of the chapter. By faith, Abel, and so many others have faith. Faithful. Even those who died. So Hebrews explains that faith is our confidence or hope, and that a heart is a desire based on instruction, and that assurance is based on God's flawless character. And that's the beautiful part of this. What happened, what will happen, what's going to happen is based on God's character, not on something that might be okay, but on something that's amazing, something that is unchanging, God's flawless character. This faith that we're talking about today, this is not blindly stepping into the void. This is not shutting down our brain and doing this mindless thing. And this is not a pie in the sky fairy tale. Fairy tale. Faith is solid. It's unshakable. It's a confidence in what you did not see. It's what God says is going to do, what we cannot yet fully imagine. And in these statements, we're tying the past and the present and the future into one word, faith. When we trust Jesus, He gives us the ability to fully trust Him. That we grow into that more so as we go closer, as we understand more, as we experience more. And the rest of chapter 11 is a biographical record of men and women who lived and died. That every fear, that every doubt, or every question was repeatedly answered, but God did. But God said. And my guess, those are two really good statements for you and me. But we'll complete them based on the moment. For example, just a couple of examples of Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah built a boat and ark in anticipation of God's promise, but never before seen rain. By faith, Abraham lifted the knife to slay his only son, knowing that God would provide heir, regardless. By faith, the Israelites marched around the city, made some noise, and the walls fell over. By faith, the Israelites, they left the safety of leeks and onions by the Nile and followed the dream. By faith, the members of this glorious power of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, lived anticipating what was withheld from them. And they waited, and they unwaited until the cross and the empty tomb. They unwaited until we came along. They unwaited until all of us might be made perfect together. Faith. What they anticipated in faith has become reality in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the difference. Jesus Christ makes the difference. They look forward, we look back. They hope it will happen, we know it will happen. They die still working, and we live in the shadow of the cross that sets us free. And so, if we're back here where they are, they're looking through a telescope, and the lens just gets a bigger picture as we go forward. And as we continue in faith, at some point, we will see it because we're there with the reality of what Jesus has provided. And so, the author is calling us to look forward, to flesh out our faith journey. Don't shrink back. Don't give away what you've received. Live by faith, knowing that the tomb is empty, knowing that every promise that Jesus spoke that's in the Word of God will come to fruition. For example, by faith, we have to maintain an open dialogue with God about the details of every part of our lives. We need to keep praying. We need to keep this dialogue with God going as long as we have breath. By faith, we have to continue to serve, to give, to sacrifice, regardless of our circumstances. Keep living. I'm tired. Keep living. I'm old. Keep living. God's done my share. Just keep living. And by faith, we have to relocate when God calls us to do so, even when His house hasn't served yet. Keep trusting. Sound like it speaks to this, and some other team can speak to it. Moving, because God said move, even though you end up going to the house. Keep trusting. By faith, we are to look beyond the walls of our church in search of more and more opportunities and new places to serve, to use our gifts and graces. His kingdom isn't just about me, His kingdom isn't just about us, His kingdom is about all those who will be part of Him. For the ministry. Keep serving. And by faith, we are to live each day as if this were the day Jesus is scheduled to return. Be ready. Be ready. Let me say that again. We are to live each day as if we believe this is the day He is returning. And as we walk away from our thoughts and prayers with the God of the universe, as we walk away from our spiritual back, having been washed from our sins, and as we walk further and farther from what we thought we knew, walk by faith, not by sight. One last quote. This is what having faith in God means. Putting our complete trust in God, aligning our action with God's commandments,